We celebrate this joyful feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the second joyful mystery of the Rosary, one of the most joyful of the joyful mysteries. You know this, the central story is Mary, after conceiving Jesus in her womb, rushes to the hill country to visit her cousin, her relative Elizabeth. And that encounter is what we celebrate today. Before we reflect on the Visitation itself, I'd like to take a little side reflection on the history of Annuin, because we are celebrating our 50th anniversary this year, 2025, and I have been doing a little bit of research into the history of our founder, Father Francis, and since today is his anniversary of his ordination, he's a priest 68 years today, I thought I'd share a little bit about what I have recently learned about his journey. Before Annuin was born. So you could say when Father Francis was still pregnant with Annuin, but no one knew. So he had tried different things to try to share what he had received, this, what we now consider the Annuin spirituality, but he didn't call it that then. He called it something like Program for Prayer Renewal or something like that. And nobody really wanted it, it seemed, until this sister, Immaculate Heart, who was founding a community of her own, grabbed the spirituality. But then Father Francis, I don't know exactly what happened there, then he founded his own community in the Diocese of Steubenville, Ohio. I think it was 1969. Anyway, that didn't work either, and recently I received a couple of letters from the archives of his community, the Marist Fathers, which reveal some of what happened back then. So 1971, he had gone to a prayer house, Madonna House in Canada, apparently to reflect on what to do next, because his project of founding the what he called the Little Servants of the Most Blessed Trinity, that didn't work. And so he wrote a letter to his superior saying, here I am in Canada, I'm trying to listen to the Lord, find out what's the next step for me. And his superior writes back to him and says, well, you started the process of incarnation into the Diocese of Steubenville, so you're still under the authority of the Diocese of Steubenville. I didn't know that. I didn't know that he had actually made a step to leave the Marist Fathers and join the diocese. I'm sure he did it in order to be free to found the community. And it's a complicated process for a religious priest to leave the religious community and join a diocese. It takes several years. So he must have taken the first step. And he was at that time then under the authority of the Diocese of Steubenville, not under his superior, even though he was still a Marist. So that the Marist superior or provincial superior said, well, you have to work it out with the bishop. So the next letter that they found is he has decided to leave the Diocese of Steubenville and go back to the Marist. And he writes from Canada again to his provincial superior. This is in early 1972. I can't remember the month. And he says, well, what I'd really like to do is start a prayer house with the Marists. I'd like to do some kind of an institute of prayer renewal for the Marists, either in an existing Marist house or maybe some house that has been left vacant. So what he's still trying to do is share the charism he had received. So nobody wanted it, now he wants to offer it to the Marists. Well, the Marists didn't want it either. They said no. They said, no, we don't want you to do your project in the Marist house. Why don't you try something else? So that's 1972. I think in late 1972 is when he first went to Corning, I don't remember. There was a house of prayer there, St. Mary's House of Prayer, and the sisters who were running the house of prayer asked him to be the chaplain. So that's how he ended up in Corning at the house of prayer. Maybe that was 1973, I don't know exactly the dates. But, and that's where the Annuin community was founded in 1975. So I find this interesting because Father Francis didn't know what what God was going to do. He had to keep listening to the Holy Spirit. He had to endure the humiliation of having people say no to him. Didn't want what he had to offer. And he simply had to keep going. So, and if he hadn't done that, let's say if the community in Steubenville had been successful, we probably wouldn't be here. Or if he had been given a space in the Marist community to do his mission, we wouldn't be here. It's only because of those stages that the Anuam community was founded in 1975, and here we are. So 50 years later, giving thanks to God for Father Francis's priesthood, his sacerdotal anniversary, 68 years, and then for the whole journey of his effort to share what he had received. So I'm comparing him, just because today is the Feast of the Visitation, I'm comparing him to Mary rushing into the hill country to share what she had received. And she didn't know how it was going to work out. She didn't know that Elizabeth would recognize that she's the mother of the Lord. She didn't know that the Holy Spirit would work through her to touch the unborn child of Elizabeth. But because Mary was an obedient, faithful, humble servant of the Lord, the Holy Spirit could use her. And we know, to bring Jesus into the world, but also to bring joy to the household of Zechariah and Elizabeth. So that's what we celebrate here. And the theme, if you see on your song sheet, is rejoice with those who rejoice. It comes from today's first reading. Rejoice with those who rejoice. This is Paul's advice to the Romans. Weep with those who weep. Have the same regard for one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. A good description of Mary. She was lowly, and she was willing to serve. She was willing to rejoice with those who rejoice and bring joy. That's what she did for Elizabeth and to John the Baptist, the unborn child who leapt for joy, and also to weep with those who weep. Now, there's a special connection here for us, because we're in this period of time. We consider the Holy Spirit Novena, the time between Jesus' ascension and the sent of the Holy Spirit, the 10 days, during which the apostles were gathered with Mary to pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit. If you notice, at the visitation and at the time of that prayer period before Pentecost, there's no description of Mary doing anything practical. Certainly she served in the household of Zechariah. Certainly she helped Elizabeth as she was in the later stages of her pregnancy. She was an older woman, so I'm sure that's Mary did a lot of things there. But the scriptures don't say anything about what she did in practice. What it says is that she and even the sound of her voice became the channel for the Holy Spirit to bring joy to John and to fill the heart of Elizabeth. Mary as an agent of the Holy Spirit. Now, something similar happens after Jesus ascends to heaven and the apostles gather for prayer with Mary. We don't hear anything about Mary doing anything except praying with them. And we know that the fruit of that prayer is, when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came down with extraordinary power on the believers. So again, Mary, the best cooperator with the Holy Spirit, the best example of an agent of the Holy Spirit, someone who was humble, lowly, you could say almost unnoticed, but was an agent of extraordinary power, extraordinary change, great joy, both times, visitation and Pentecost. Great joy filled the hearts of the people who happened to be in the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary. What does it say to us? Well, we are praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we are to learn from Mary how to be sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit, how to be moved by the Spirit into places that are unfamiliar, to do things we don't know what will happen. Something like Father Francis going from Steubenville to Canada to for the Marists to Corning, New York, to found the Anouilh community. He didn't know how it was going to work. He had to follow the Holy Spirit. And of course, he followed in the footsteps of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But this is what we're to do. Follow the Holy Spirit. Not control, not be afraid, not be concerned about ourselves, but be willing to serve humbly, to go where the Lord sends us, to be an instrument of the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. So it's a joyful feast. Let us rejoice with those who rejoice. That is the agents of joy. It's part of the Jubilee year, to be pilgrims of hope and to bring hope to others, to be forgetful of ourselves so that God can use us for the good of others. So that's Mary at the Visitation. She's an evangelist, she's a servant, she's a bearer of the incarnation, she's a model for the church, she's a model for all of us. So let us rejoice with Mary, rejoice with Elizabeth, rejoice with John the Baptist, rejoice with the church on this feast day of the Visitation.